Now?
Yes.
Is it time?
Yes.
Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time in Hebrew. I have Riley here with me, my beautiful singer, Christmas time singing. what other times? The first time she sang. So last week she was here and I didn't get to throw her in the water. So this week I'm throwing her in the water because I think the Lord loves to hear your voice and I know we do too. So praise God. I'll be back after you sing. Okay.
So with the little preparation in the last 4 seconds, the Lord was all up in my head telling me that with all the wild things going on in the world, we just need to be relying on Him. And no matter what's going to happen, no matter what's happening now, whatever we've been through, we just have to be ready and willing to look up and look to Him. So this song is called I Will Look Up.
Amen.
All the worries of this world, I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace, your perfect peace. All the loved ones I hold dear, all my hopes, my dreams, and my fears, I will choose to trust your name in everything, with everything. I will look up to see that you are faithful. I look ahead to know that you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus. I will take you at your word. For Jesus, you have taken hold of me. All my life is in your hands. You are my strength. You are my strength. I will look up and there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you. Jesus, Lord of all, I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able. Jesus, Lord of all, Jesus. Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life, all my cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares on you. Jesus, you're the Lord of all.
Yeah! Awesome.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Please make me cry twice. That's a beautiful song. I never heard that song. That's a beautiful song. That could be the message. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, we're gonna get rid of the mic.
Amen.
Wow. I want find that song for me. I love those words.
Beautiful.
You want the mic?
Because you don't.
That's a good message in that song.
Yeah.
We could go home after that.
Yeah.
A little COVID worrying selves. I should sing that and go home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That would be awesome.
It was a blessing.
Okay, we're going to pray in the message.
His glasses.
And no, I have. Do I have my glasses? Yeah, I do.
That's okay.
No, it's not, but okay.
It's fragile. We try to keep it clean and tight. I understand.
We're not live, are we?
Yes, we are.
Oh.
This is who we are.
Okay.
Yeah, hallelujah.
For real.
For real.
Okay.
You're 110.
Okay.
Can I ask y'all to stand one more time? Mostly just to make sure you're still good.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the wonderful ministers in the house, dear Jesus. Where they're sharing a testimony, where they're sharing with one another, dear Jesus, where they're sharing in song, dear Lord, that you are just blessing this house, dear Lord, and that we are growing, dear Jesus, by one another. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my husband, that he's had the proper time to be before your throne this morning, that he's received the message that's on fire for today, dear Lord, that is prevalent for today, dear Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let our hearts be open, dear Jesus, to receive you. Let our spiritual ears hear what the word is saying. And we ask these things before you, dear Lord. We bless you, dear Lord. Allow Sandy to flow in your spirit this morning, dear Lord, as he delivers this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me grab my Bible. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Even though. Praise the Lord, everybody. How you guys doing?
Yes.
Well, it's good to see you. How you doing? All right. Okay, here we go. Today's message. What's our title again? Wow, that's a weird title, huh?
It's weird.
God's Flying Fish. Have you ever seen a flying fish? You ever seen a flying fish? It is a beautiful thing to see because they just pop up out of the water like that. And it's like, man, you're waiting there to see, are they going to come again? It's awesome. Anyway, this message today is concerning the great fishermen. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this message, I'm making sure that I'm starting where the Lord wants me to start. Because, let's see, are we going to start at there or here? Okay, we're going to start here and we'll go there. Okay. So, the daughters of men know that we were beautiful and they watch music. Okay, yep, this is where we're starting. All right, you guys have your Bibles with you?
Yes.
Okay, I want everybody to turn their Bibles to, this is a hard book to find, Genesis. Chapter 2. I love when they say, go to Genesis, because it's like, yeah. Don't you hate when they go? Go to Ecclesiastes. Oh, God, where is that? Okay. Praise the Lord, all our YouTube family. I want to say this before we get started. I don't know how the commercials are going on YouTube and if that whole thing's been worked out where they stop interrupting the message with... commercials?
Yeah, we got that and we addressed it this morning. But
okay.
We use that money to not have to beg the members for money.
Right.
And if they
I know because we're monetized now. We were unmonetized for a long time. It was beautiful. They didn't bother us and we didn't bother them.
Right. But we use that money to be able to ship things to people for free.
Yes.
And minister to them without tasking them.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. And the other people that you're able to help because of it. So I know one thing, I ain't getting it. So we are, it blessed people that can be blessed. And so life has ups and downs, and we are not in charge of YouTube.
Yeah,
I wish we could.
Yeah,
so we can complain about it, though. Maybe they'll stop doing so many. So praise God. Are you in Genesis chapter? Did I say chapter 2? I meant chapter 6, verse 2. Yes.
Someone said they don't interrupt the live service.
They don't?
Not the live service, when they go back later to listen to it.
Oh, okay. Well,
not the live service.
There's a solution. Be here on time. Hallelujah. But I hope you don't dislike us for what YouTube's doing, because that's not me. Okay, and it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives, all of which they chose. Who are the sons of God? Huh?
Angels.
The angels that were watchers over men, right? They are the sons of God. We are going to, I hope the board, you guys can see the board because you're way over there, but I'm going to be doing some writing today. Now, we want to, because the Lord said, you can't talk to my people as if they're not intelligent. You have to teach them because they have the mind of Christ and they're very intelligent and they can learn and they can know, and the more they know about God, the more they're going to be close to God, right? So I want you to know that the word sons of God is the word in Hebrew, B'nai Elohim, okay? Now, this is the sons of God. Now, why are they called the sons of God? Because we know that Jesus is the Son of God, begotten of God, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that even he says that Israel is my firstborn son. So why is he saying these angels are the sons of God?
They were made by God.
Amen. Because they were created directly from God, okay? So when God creates you, he considers you to be a son or a daughter of his own, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the whole thing, is what God is speaking to us, because we are all now what? The sons of God, okay? And I will read this to you. It says in Luke chapter 20, verse 36. If you want to go there, you can, but I have three scriptures to read, so you don't have to. Luke says, nor can they die anymore, for they are all equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So God is saying we are his sons. Why? Because God has personally given birth to each one of us, okay?
Yeah.
Then Romans says, Romans 8:14 says, for as many that are led by God, okay, by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God, okay? So God considers us to be what? B'nai Elohim. We are the sons of God. We are directly created by God. I'm going to read the last one, Galatians chapter 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So all of us are the offspring of God. Now, God created you, and now you are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, okay? You are right now, you never existed before. Once you accepted Christ, that person now never existed before. You know why? Because you had never had the Holy Spirit live inside you before.
Mm.
So now that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you are a completely different person. You have a complete different direction. The purpose of being born again is because God can only let into his house family members, okay? He's not interested in bringing a bunch of strangers in and just letting them live amongst his kids. Most of us wouldn't do that, okay?
Amen.
We're like, hey, you know, I just met you, man. You know, something like that. But with God, he's like, I birthed you, you're part of my family. And so therefore, now you are qualified to come into my house and to be a part of my family. This is why Jesus says, you must be born again. No one will enter the kingdom of God unless they are what? Born again. And when you are born again, you become the B'nai Ha Elohim, the sons of God. Many more things to say about that, but let me try to continue before we go on. Okay, we're going to stop here. Now, the other thing that God wants you to know. Now, how is it that these sons of God, okay, they lived in heaven, they know God, they even know what heaven is like. How is it, and women, you need to understand this, because a lot of women don't really understand what God has done with you, okay? I don't care how you feel about yourself, God made you the most beautiful creature on the planet Earth.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
There is a scripture in the Apocrypha that says that a man can be looking at the beauty of the rivers as they flow, the wonderful snow that lies upon a mountain's cap, the beautiful wind that it flows through the trees. And as he's sitting by the lake, if a woman should walk by, he will forget all that he sees.
Yes.
And gaze upon her with concentration. Yes. Right? Yes. So what does that tell you about you?
Wow.
Okay?
Amen.
Right dress, right shoes. Woo. Tree what? Butterfly what?
Woo.
Right?
Mercy, Lord. Amen.
So you have to, this is why the scripture also says that when a woman prays, it says, and doesn't say you're forced to, it says, think about whether it is proper for you to cover your head or not, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, it says, remember the angels.
Yeah.
Why remember the angels? Because they were attracted to the beauty of the women and especially their hair, okay?
Yeah.
So he says, think about it when you're praying or when you're speaking before people, how your appearance is, because everybody ain't saved out there.
Amen.
You know, some of them listen to the word, some of them like, that could be my wife. And they ain't even saved, right? So God is saying, be careful about how you carry yourself, because I've made you very attractive.
Yes.
And I'll tell on God, we notice a beautiful woman, I don't care if she's a block and a half away, and we won't tell you, but we saw. Okay? That is just truth. It is just something that is strong within men, okay? So it's something, I'm not going to tell it all, but it's something that God commands us to control, okay? Because Job said what? Job says, I have trained my eyes to only gaze upon the beauty of my wife. You understand?
Yeah.
So you have to cast down that all that stuff and say, nope, that's mine, okay? So, but remember, we live in this environment, okay? So you guys have to be careful, and men, we have to be careful, okay? All right, that's enough said there. So these sons of God, they sin. Do you know that they were angels before they, but one thing that the Apocrypha says that the, and not only Apocrypha, the New Testament says this as well. They were able to disrobe off of their, what they call the orchiterium. They were able to take off their robe of eternity and take on a human body. And while in a human body, they could interact with humans and talk to them and help them in certain things. But while they're in a human form, they better not sin, because you don't have a savior.
Right.
You don't have any forgiveness and you have no savior. And that's what the B'nai Ha Elohim did. They took off their eternal garment, people who didn't know God how to sin. How bad is that? For now, what if a Christian, like I'm a Christian, but I'm with you having shots. We're at the bar and we're drinking shots. I know God and you don't. You're just like one of those B'nai Ha Elohims, right? You know God, you've been to church, you've accepted Christ, but to have a little fun, you're gonna disrobe and say, I'm gonna do what, or teach these people how to live evil, okay? And that was the evil thing of the sons of God, okay? Yeah. Now, the numerical value of sons of God is, in Hebrew, is 153, okay? Now, let's go here. Everybody go to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Okay, now watch this. After Jesus appeared to his disciple at the Sea of Tiberias, you hear they're trying to turn into Trumpberius now? Because Tiberius was a very bad person. So it says, after Jesus appeared again with the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, okay? And it said, it happened this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Dunamis, Nathan from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, Zebedee had two sons, and two others were together. I am going fishing, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. Now I'm going to stop there for a second, because when he says, I'm going fishing, the terminology in the Greek is, I'm done. I'm going back to doing what I used to do. Because Jesus, they thought, was coming to make them a part of the royal kingdom, okay? And that he was going to take over the Roman government and he was going to do all of these things. But when Jesus died on the cross, they knew that he was supposed to resurrect on the third day. I guess they did. But they're acting as if, well, he's not going to do it. We had all these great hopes, and now it's over. So now what does Peter do? Peter, he says, look, I'm going fishing, okay? He says, or Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. Basically, I'm done. I'm going back to doing what I was doing when I met the guy. And what was I doing when I met him?
Fishing,
okay? And he says, they say, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of a large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped in the water. Okay, what is the water?
The world.
What is the garment that he took off? The Holy Spirit. So when he said he's going fishing, he's like, I'm done. Okay? But now he says, wait a minute, there's Jesus. So now he's trying to get himself ready to go again. Here we go. You'll see this in a minute. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So now, Jesus is already on the shore and he's already cooked a meal. You understand? He's not dependent on them. He's all cooked for them and prepared it for them. And he's already ready for them to come ashore and experience this with them, right? So the wedding feast or the banquet has already been set. How many were on the boat? Seven. How many churches?
Seven.
How many children did Leah have?
Seven.
Whenever God's talking about the church, he's talking about seven. So now these seven guys are in the boat. They went fishing, which is what the disciples of Christ are supposed to do anyway, right?
Yes.
We're supposed to be fishing. And what are we fishing for?
Men.
We're trying to turn regular men into B'nai Elohims, okay? We're fishing for, because Christ told them, I'm going to teach you to fish for men, right?
Yeah.
So they're out fishing, and here they are. And he says, and then in verse 10, it says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Why did God choose 153 fish? Do you think it just happened to be 153 fish? Or is God trying to tell you something? So what's he trying to pull out? What's he telling you they're pulling out of the water? Sons of God. What's the seven churches that's going to the shore for a meal? Sons of God. 153 fish. You understand? So the sons of God are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You understand? All right. Now, we're not going to get into this part yet. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18, verse 19. Luke chapter 18, verse 19, and Jesus says here, God said unto them, why call me good? None is good save one, that is God. So these men are calling Jesus good. And he says, why are you calling me good? There's nobody good but God. So has Jesus forgot that he's God?
No.
Or is Jesus testing their knowledge? He's testing their knowledge. He wants to know, why do you call me good? Have you been studying well? Because if you're calling me good, you know that there's no one good except for God. But if a child is born, and that child that is going to be born is also has the name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and they call him the Everlasting Father. The Son's going to be all of these? Jesus hasn't forgotten that he's God. So why is it that he's asking them, why are you calling me good? Okay, let's look. The word good in Hebrew is what? Hebrew students, tov. Tov is good. Numerical value of it is what? 17. Okay? Let's continue reading here. In Exodus, this is good. Let's read this first. I'm gonna read Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. You hear that? So God saw the light. Who's the light? Light came into the world. He saw the light, and God said, the light is good. He's Tov, okay? Now, we gotta see something else. Exodus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 1. Watch this. It says, now a man
of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a good child, and if your Bible says fine or whatever, incredible, the Hebrew word is, when she saw that he was a good child, she hid him for how long? 3 months. Why does she hide Moses for 3 months? Because if she hid him for 3 months, let's see what else happened here. Okay? But when she couldn't hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. So when she says she makes this basket, they don't say a papyrus basket in Hebrew. They say she made a tabak. You know what a tabak is? The same thing that God said, Noah, I want you to make a tabak. It's an ark. He said, I want you to make a floating boat. She made a tabak. Now, that means the ark is being sent out into the world. You understand? So she pushes Moses out into the world, because the water is what? The world. She pushes him out, but she has to wait till the fourth month. Why?
The fourth day.
Because you can't sacrifice a lamb until what day? The fourth day. Exodus 12 says you pick the lamb on the 10th. You keep the lamb for how many days? You pick the lamb on the 10th. You keep the lamb till the 14th. And then you kill him on this. So they have to pick their lamb here on the 10th coming out of Egypt. They got to wait 4 days before they can kill him. So why is Moses' mother waiting till the fourth month? Because she's staying in line with the author of the book. Why doesn't Jesus come into the earth until the 4,000th year? Because God is holding him back. He's a secret, or he's a mystery. I'm keeping this mystery away from mankind until the fourth day, because I can't sacrifice him until the fourth day anyway.
Right.
And what time did they kill the lamb? Twilight. What time did Jesus die? Twilight. So Jesus is that ark that has been pushed out into the world. Okay?
Man.
Now, we have to continue here. Okay. So, here it says in Exodus chapter 12, 1-6, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and they told them what?" And he tells them what? "On the 10th day, every family is to take a lamb. On the 14th day, everyone is to kill the lamb," right? And then 3 days after they came out of Egypt, you know what happened here? They crossed the Red Sea. There was a Passover right here. This was the Passover. So now, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.'" Okay? So, John already knows that Jesus is the Lamb. This is why Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey, but that's on the 10th of Nisan. Now he's got 4 days before he's going to be sacrificed. So I need you guys to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Verse 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. It said, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him on the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, 'Look out to you, let you know that I have no fault okay, in this man, right? So now they're saying, Pilate is saying, I have examined him. Now, if you're a priest, once you take the lamb, what do you have to do for the next 4 days? What if the lamb has a broken leg? Can you use that lamb?
Nope.
Okay, if the lamb's sick, can you use that lamb?
Nope.
So after the priest examined that lamb for 4 days, on the fourth day, the priests come out, and what do they say? This lamb has no fault. He's worthy to be sacrificed. Pilate comes out on the fourth day and says what? I find this lamb to have no fault. So that's good news to us, because now Jesus can be sacrificed. But if Jesus is hearing this, he's going, I qualify. So now it's time for them to sacrifice him, and he has to die at twilight. He can't die early in the morning. He can't die on the 15th. He has to die on the 14th, the same time as the other lamb did coming out, okay? So they come out of there on the 14th of Nisan, and they go on a journey trying to get away. Now, are they free? Okay, so say it's the 14th. On the 15th, they're still going. On the 16th, they're moving along well. Are they free and passed over yet? No. On the 16th, everything's going on. But on the 16th at night, what do they see? The Egyptians following behind them, right? And they're going to kill them. So they're not safe yet. They haven't passed over. So God splits the sea. They cross over to the other side. The Egyptians go into the water to try to chase after them. It overfloods them, and they're done, right? So now are they saved? Do they have to worry about the Egyptians anymore? No, they couldn't tread water. So now they're free. That's the Passover. So 10, 14, 17 being the victory. Okay? Let's go. Now, what does the word Hebrew mean? What does the word Hebrew mean? Iber. Huh? To cross over from beyond. That's what Hebrew means. So God's plan is what? A crossover, a Passover. Is the Passover about the Egyptians passing over from Egypt and passing over to the land? Or is the Passover about a bigger thing? Because all scripture is about Christ. All the scripture is not about the stories you read. Jesus says the volume of the book is about me.
Yeah.
So what's the Passover about?
Christ.
Because Eber means to cross over from beyond. So God is saying, I'm using these people because I am going to cross over from the unknown, from the unseen into the seen. And this is how we're going to bring salvation. Okay. So now on the 17th, here we go. Okay. So now Jesus comes in, he enters in, and on the 17th of Nisan, he resurrects from the grave. 3 days later, right? 14, 15, 16, 17. 3 days later, Jesus Christ has resurrected. And now you can say what? The same thing you would say if you were on Noah's Ark. Because Noah's Ark, in chapter 8, it says this. Then the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on Mount Ararat. What does Ararat mean in Hebrew? Reverse the curse. So on the 17th day, on the seventh month, but remember the seventh month used to be Nisan, okay? Now it's the first month of the year, but it used to be Nisan. God changed it, so now what do you have? So the ark lands on the 17th day of the month. So what happens? And it says, and he lands on Mount Ararat, which means reverse the curse. So on the 17th, the curse gets reversed. Okay? So who's the fisherman? Who's the great fisherman?
Right.
I saw the light and it was good. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 plus 10 plus 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 plus 16 plus Jesus equals what? 153. So the great fisherman is Jesus. And what's he fishing for? The B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God. Okay? So this is what God is doing. He's fishing, he's in the world, and he's fishing for us. Okay? He's trying to make you B'nai HaElohim. He's trying to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he wants someday for you to not just be a fish that he caught, he wants you to be a flying fish.
Amen. I get it.
Amen. Amen.
We have to see and understand this, because now God goes to a completely different book in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 10, and now he starts talking about flying fish. He talks about these fish that are going to ascend. Let's go read it.
Man, that's good.
You're in Ezekiel chapter 47. Hallelujah. I'm going to get there too. Now, when I read it, because when I first read this, I would, what does that mean? Okay. Now, 47, how are you? Verse 10. You guys with me? Okay. Yeah. It said, fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Englam. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds. Is it people from all over the world getting saved, right?
Yeah.
Like the fish of the great sea. But the swamp and the marsh will not become fresh, and they will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kind will grow on both banks of the river. He's talking about heaven now. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. For every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve as food, and their leaves as the healing, what? To the nations. That's in the book of Revelation. So he's talking about, he's not just talking about gathering fish. He's talking about what? These fish becoming a part of the kingdom of God. Okay, we got to go back to the board. Let's see, this is good. Okay. Now, they said we're going to go fishing, but we're going to go to En-Gedi. I'm going to put it like this. I'll tell you what this word is in a minute. And this is En-Gedi. What do you think the numerical value for En-Gedi in Hebrew is? 17. And he says, and we're going to, and it says, even unto, I'm going to put Allah. I am. What do you think the numerical value for that is? 153. Okay. Now, remember, when God's writing the Bible, he's not just telling you the story in words, he's telling you the story in numbers. This seems to be the same story as this producing this, right? It's the Son of God producing what? Fish. He's in the world to do what? To gather fish. Now, you have once again, this right here, 17, you're going to go fishing. There's going to be nets there. And it says you're going to fish from the ascension. This is Allah. En Gedi, this is a separate word. En Gedi, this is Allah Gedi. From the ascension of Gedi, 17, to the ascension of Englam, 153. So this is both talking about an ascension. Now, before it said the spring, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a rapture in the spring. But I remember, like in English, spring can mean two things, right? Spring can mean springtime, Aviv in Hebrew, or spring can mean I was on a trampoline and I sprung up, right? Or you sprung out of a box or something, okay? So this spring, Allah means to spring up. It is the same word that is in the Book of Psalms 120, the songs of what?
Ascension.
Allah, meaning that this is an ascension. So God is not just talking about fish here. He's talking about these. When you see the 17 bring forth the fish from the earth, the sons of God, there's going to be an Allah. There's going to be an ascension. So here's God once again telling you the same story about the same thing. I'm going to take the ones that I give life to. I'm going to take them out of the earth. How are they going to leave the earth? They're going to meet Allah. Or they're going to Allah. They're going to ascend up into heaven. Okay? Now.
Wow. That's deep, Pastor Sandy.
We are talking about God Almighty becoming a fisherman. But the first thing we're talking about is, because if you have no fish to catch, there's no sense being a fisherman. God has fish to catch. He has you, he has me, he has the whole world. Remember, when they're in this spot and they catch fish, these fish are from many kinds all over the world. Okay? So dear God, this is why black Hebrew Israelites are stupid. Jesus only died for the black man. The whole scripture tells you that he loves the whole world, right? That he died for everybody to fix everybody. But now when you become a son of God, when you become the Benai Elohim, you have put on a garment. You are just like the angels that had on a garment. In that garment, you are supposed to stay. If God does not allow for the angels to come out of their garment so that they can sin. You, as a born-again Christian, you're in the garment of righteousness, because in Luke, at the very last chapter, he says, I clothe them in righteousness. This is something that we are supposed to take care of, because the scripture says, do not let me find you naked and ashamed. You understand? Other scripture says to keep your garment with you. Okay? So at all times, we're supposed to keep this garment with us and not be like the Benai Elohim that knew God, knew the secrets of God, knew everything about God, but when it came to an opportunity to sin, they just disrobed. And then what does Jews say? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there. Ooh.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Where did I say just turn to? Okay. I think it's Hebrews 11. But ooh, I should not have erased that. But anyway, let's talk about this. 20, verse 1 through 7. 20, verse 2 through 7. Okay, that's Revelation. can't teach on this really, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, 6,000s are mentioned, right? But he doesn't mention the first 1,000 till verse 2. So you got 2017 and 2027 as being the conclusion of the story. With us, it's the same thing. It's still the conclusion. God is constantly showing, stay ready, be ready. It's like the song that she sang, don't worry about the state of the world. And I meant to tell you guys to turn to Jude, not to...
Jude?
Yeah, Jude, the book right before Revelation. I keep thinking I'm... You're Jude? All right. Let's begin reading here at verse 5. It says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Did they all leave Egypt? Okay. He's saying, look, I want you to know that there are some people that got delivered. They came out. Okay, but he says the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own homes. The Greek said, abandoned their orchitaria. The word for your skin in Hebrew is or. It's the word light, okay? They abandoned the garment or the home or the garment that God had given them to live upon the earth for an opportunity to sin. So it says here, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own homes, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. And they served as an example of those who suffered punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, slander celestial beings, but even the archangel Michael, who disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively of what they do not understand. And they do not understand by instinct. Well, anyway, last scripture that the Lord wanted me to read, and that was John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1. Remember the light? In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, through Jesus Christ. In beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? And it says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of, right? In him was light, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Now, if darkness is just a room that is very black, how does it have any understanding? Or is, see, the word meaning darkness is one thing, but the keshek in Hebrew, darkness carries many different titles. Keshek means ignorance. Keshek means confusion. Keshek means destruction, death, and sorrow. So he says, darkness saw the light, but did not know what it was doing. It didn't understand it. Who's ignorant? Satan. He didn't know what God was doing. If he knew what God was doing for 4,000 years, Jesus had not appeared. Now Jesus appears, in the 4,000th year, and since he doesn't know anything, guess what he wants to do? He wants to kill him. But if you kill a human being and that human being dies with sin, where does he go? Hell. But if you die and go to hell, and once you leave your body, you're God again. Satan don't want you there.
Right.
And so Satan went down into hell, and what does he do? It said he made an open display of them, and he took back the keys of life and death. And if darkness had understood what they were doing, they would not have opened the door for him to come down and to take back the keys.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was held back as a secret, as a mystery, away from the world. And even though he gave hints about him coming, he never told his plan. Okay? When he told Habakkuk, Habakkuk said, why are we suffering so bad? We're supposed to be the chosen people of God. Why are we suffering so bad? And he says, Habakkuk, here, I want you to become a herald for me. Take this message and run. What did he want him to tell him? He said, and he said, make it clear so they understand it. See, this wasn't talking about they misused it. He said, you go tell them that the just shall live by faith. That was a hint about the coming Messiah. Because when he comes, he's going to justify you by your belief in him, and you are going to become a B'nai Ha Elohim, and a new way of knowing God is going to come. You understand?
2 minutes.
So you're in this world as a son of God. God went fishing, he caught you, he caught you, he caught you, he caught you. And guess what you're going to become? A flying fish. Because if the world is water, if the world is water, you're jumping out of it soon.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And so that's what God wants us to be aware of, okay? Because the light of the world came into the world. And he always kept making these remarks. And he comes, first of all, to fishermen because he's trying to make a point, okay? Yes. And our duty is to do what? Once we become, he catches us, then he says, now I want you to turn around and become a fisherman, okay? And I want you to catch fish. And so that when the time all comes, you got just a bunch of fish just jumping out of the water.
Yes.
But all of them don't get to come. It says in the scripture, it says some of them are stuck in the salt water. Okay? And some of them, the river dries up and it becomes a salt. That's what Ezekiel was trying to let you know. Everybody's not leaving the water. Okay? But we have the garment of Christ on. Let's keep it on. And like the song said, thank you, Riley. That was a beautiful song. You should not be stressing yourself out knowing that you're leaving. Okay? Because God already has a plan for you, and it's not a plan of wrath, it's a plan of escape. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.